What a momentous moment this is, Sue.
That's right, John. We've had word from Washington there'll be no more recounts.
Months of bitter words and legal wrangling have ended.
Yes, the BBC have finally counted up James Naughtie's expenses. Apparently £4 million on waffles alone.
Yes, all that money and all we got was 5 weeks of him saying there's no result yet.
Hello and welcome to The Art Sale. This is Mark Lawson. Today we're looking at the Hollywood film The Grinch That Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. Jermaine, what do you think?
It was just so boring and so predictable. I never liked Dr. Seuss anyway. I went to the cinema and frankly I hated it.
Yes, but would you watch it on a train?
I would not watch it on a train.
Would you watch it on a plane?
Not on a plane, not on a train. I would not watch it here. I would not watch it there. I would not watch it anywhere.
Tom Pauline, your thoughts?
This was a film that I wanted to enjoy, but I really didn't like it.
You did not like it?
I did not like it. Not one bit.
Would you like it in the hall?
Not in the hall. Not with a ball. I did not like the film at all.
Right, if I could turn now to my last guest in the hope of getting some slightly more in-depth and carefully thought-out analysis.
Hello, I'm Mariella Frostrup.
On second thoughts, back to you, Tom.
Hello and welcome to The Choice with me, Michael Burke. My guest today was faced with a crucial dilemma. Welcome, Dale Winton.
Michael, I didn't know which way to turn. My mind was in a whirl. What a choice to have to make at such a young age.
Right, so what were your options?
Well, it was whether I should be nice or lovely. Oh, I can't tell you the sleepless nights I had. Lovely, nice, nice, lovely. Oh!
That seems like an almost impossible situation.
Well, in the end, I was in such a tizz I couldn't decide, so I just became both. I'm nice and I'm lovely. And so are you, Michael. You're nicer and lovelier than me.
No, you're the lovely one, Dale. Nice and lovely too.
No, Michael, we're all lovely, sweetheart.
That was the choice. Dale Winton once called me nice at a recording of the National Lottery. I won't tell you how I hurt him. Suffice to say that it was the second time that night he'd wanted someone to release those balls.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. After the remake of Shaft and Get Carter, there are plans to remake one of the greatest epics of all time, Jesus of Nazareth.
My disciples, this shall be my last supper with you. I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And I tell you this, there is one of you here who will betray me. One of you does not deserve to be my follower.
You're quite right, because so far, disciples, you've accumulated for this meal a woefully inadequate 2 bottles of red wine and some bread. Want for my last supper. Now, who is just not contributing? Who, frankly, is a liability to the cause? It's time to vote off the weakest disciple. Simon, who is called Peter. You voted for Judas. Why?
I just have a feeling he's the one who, you know, is going to do the betraying.
Right. He's also the disciple who's banked the most money. 30 pieces of silver, to be precise.
I just think he's going to let us down.
I see. Well, we'll see if you're still as smug after the cock's crowed. Thomas, you voted for Judas too. Do you think he's happy about that?
I doubt it.
Yes, well, you would doubt it, Thomas. Judas, you did bank the most money, but it's votes that count. You are the weakest disciple. Goodbye.
You are right. I am the weakest disciple.
I have sinned and betrayed innocent blood. It were better I had not been born. I'm going to find a tree and hang myself.
Oh, well, at least you took it better than they usually do.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Charlotte Green. And yes, I'm not wearing any. And after this afternoon's Radio 4 Christmas party, the following fluff warning was issued. Staff drinking, slowly at first, then increasing to 6 or 7 lagers, becoming tequila slammers later. Sea Area's Jenny Murray, sick as a dogger, later. Severe fluffs are expected in all the following programmes. The Moral Maze, complete gibberish, no change. You and Yours, cancelled, good. Probability of coherent speech on today, rock all. And that's the end of the fluff warning.
As he entered the House of Commons tea room and placed his powerful muscular form on the chair next to hers, Ms. Widdicombe, the gorgeous pouting virgin, couldn't help but be swept away on a tide of emotion like a pebble on a storm-tossed beach. He opened his mouth, his soft, sensual voice wafting over her like waves crashing upon the shore.
Come on, sir. Hobnobs and parcel sugar, eh?
The meaning couldn't have been more clear. It was obvious that all Robin wanted was to shower Anne with kisses, to run his rough-hewn Glaswegian hands, blackened by soot and coal dust, across her delicate pearl-white skin, and cause every fibre of her being to scream with lustful acquiescence as her fingers danced through his luxuriant chest hair. His feelings were too intense to put into words. Yet his desperate longings ignited fires deep within her, their embers glowing as angry and as red as his mighty beard. Of course it's yes, yes, 1,000 times yes, Robin. Remove your bourbon cream from its outer wrapping and dunk it triumphantly into my brew. Pile your teaspoon high with nature's sweetener and shower my hot beverage with its sugary white goodness. Robin, take me up in your powerful arms and defrock this pouting, delicate virgin with your engorged passion. On second thoughts, here, have the sugar.
Hello?
Is that the bingo hall?
It is, yes.
Hello, I am the doctor.
You're the doctor?
I am.
All right.
I wonder, sir, could I apply for a job as a bingo caller?
Not at this precise moment, no.
At any moment?
No, not at this time. Try it after Christmas.
I see. Which year?
Next year.
Two Fat Zygons, 88. On its own, blind, Davros.
That's it, yep.
All the ones, it's Melka Tentacles.
Yep, no, that's no problem.
22, two little Sontaran probic vents.
Okay. I've got to go now.
Galactic Zero Centre, 0.703709 from the Casterbar and outer helix.
Goodbye.
Good afternoon, Cosmicals.
Hello, is that the Cosmos Bingo Hall?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Which part of the Cosmos?
Eccles.
listening to me, Kate Ady. And with Boxing Day given over to Harry Potter and the return of children's programming to Radio 4, let me assure you that from our own correspondent, we'll remain at the forefront of hard-hitting journalism. We begin with a tale of tragedy and woe. As I look about me, I see the small pink faces of the starving, protected only by humble dustbin lids. Yes, here on the moon, the soup dragon's strike continues. The sight of tiny Clanger, her woolen paws cradling the fading remnants of her blue string supper, is enough to soften the hardest of hearts. Her father, Major Clanger, made his people's plight clear. It is with the support of the Metal Chicken that Major Clanger hopes to bring down the brutal regime under which he has served for so long. We spoke to its leader, the Soup Dragon herself. So little room to hope for compromise. Coming next, Bagpuss. Is he a saggy old cloth cat, baggy and a bit loose at the seams, or totalitarian overlord of the mice on the mouse organ?
Hello, I'm Nick Interesting Ross. Today's crime is particularly nasty. Perhaps you recognise the ringleader from this CCTV footage.
Hello, it's me, Carol Smiley. Take two smiles into the shower, not me, I can't even fit one in. Welcoming you to another Changing Rooms.
At 3 a.m. on the 24th, they performed a vicious robbery on this high street and then seemed to take great delight in explaining what they'd done in front of the security cameras.
Okay, Linda Barker, what have you done? Well, Carol, by introducing this lovely 4x4 Daihatsu into the front of Dixon's window, we've created a lovely ram-raiding effect, which we think was really, really effective. And once inside, what we've done is remove all the VCRs and tellies and PlayStations and put them into the back of our van to create a lovely feeling of space, which we think will be really, really lucrative.
But by far the most shocking thing was the role played by this glamorous, dusky-looking woman.
No, that's not a woman, it's Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, who stupidly stayed behind to redecorate the showroom in a Baroque, retro, Georgian, Moroccan fusion style with ethnic scatter cushions and orange and tangerine pedestals.
Which is why the police who arrested him now have the only cell in Britain with velvet curtains and a mock 16th-century Queen Anne slopping out buckets. Good night.
BBC Radio 3. Quiet, isn't it? Coming up this morning, some more nice, soothing music to ease you into the day. But first, the BBC tells me I need to promote its other stations. So let's see what's happening over on Radio 4 at the moment.
So just answer the question, please, you annoying little man.
You're very, very rude, Sue. If I weren't a woman, I'd strike you.
Oh, no. We don't like that, do we? Far too raucous and shouty for us, isn't it? Let's see what's on Radio 2.
That was your man, Rod Stewart, there. Hey, slap me vitals. Hey, I hope I look that good when I'm his age. Hey, now here's good old Matt Munro.
Oh, dear. Very frivolous. We're not keen on that, are we? No, not keen. Best stay here on Radio 3. The time's just coming up to... Oh, who cares? Let's all have a biscuit and... Let's listen to some Schubert.
Good afternoon, Viking Hotel. Sally speaking. How may I help you?
Hello, that's at the Viking Hotel in Blackpool.
Yes?
Now, do you put on lots of cabaret and singers and things like that?
Well, we have... We have a cabaret venue next door. It's part of the hotel, and there are shows on there throughout the year.
Ah, that's very good, because I'm actually developing a career as a bit of a singer myself. So I was wondering, how would one go about getting an opportunity to sing live at the Viking Hotel?
Do you have a tape at all?
I mean, there's been times when, you know, Fiona's just got the little small portable thing out in one of the soundproof rooms at Conservative Central Office. And I've just sung into that. So, do you think that would be all right?
Well, I don't really know, because I'm not really up on it all myself. The best thing to do is if you can send it in, just, you know, with a letter stating what,
yes,
you know, what you actually do and...
Well, I'm the leader of the Conservative Party.
Right, he'll look at it, and if he's interested, then he'll contact you.
Fantastic. I mean, I've got a part-time job, but singing is becoming my passion.
Right, well, we do actually hold a talent contest. You might be interested in having a go at that.
Fantastic. I quite like this Phil Collins one, or Westlife. How can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? Cos we've shared the laughter and the tears, and even shared the tears. You're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me where there's just an empty space, and you coming back to me is against all odds. It's the chance I've got to take.
Right, well, after that round, you've banked just £50. And as far as I'm concerned, contestants, you're all as thick as pig shit. But it's votes that count, and Brian, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I'm not going anywhere, Robinson. I'm not the weakest link by any stretch of the imagination. I'm Brian Perkins, the hardest link.
I have to take issue with you on that, Brian. I'm the daddy of the BBC now. Goodbye.
Don't make me angry, Robinson. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
I don't like you anyway, Brian. I don't like anyone or anything. I am Anne Robinson, Judge Dredd in an Armani trouser suit. And I will be obeyed.
I've got some advice for you, you ginger witch. I suggest you go back to your faulty washing machines before things get uglier than you already are.
I'm sorry, Brian, but there's a new hard man in town, and it's me. I voted you out, so off you go.
I see I'm going to have to deal with you in the same way I dealt with those upstarts, David Starkey and Michael Burke. They tried to big it up once, so I did them. Waited for them in the moral maze. I won't tell you what I shoved where, but it made Michael Burke's voice go more up and down than usual, and Starkey couldn't walk for a week.
Right. I apologise, Brian. I don't know what I was thinking.
Anne Robinson, you are the weakest link. Bugger off.
And so you join us here in Karachi for these closing moments of this thrilling test match. There's bright sunshine somewhere in Africa, but here a lovely owl flies overhead, and out in the middle I see a man, I think, throwing something. A ball, is it, Fred?
Well, Henry, that truly was a tremendous thing that someone did out there somewhere, probably. Well, yes, a fine shot. The ball goes through the covers, perhaps crawls, we don't know. And the men are probably running after it. I can hear something going on, and I do believe someone's won. Yes, someone has won. Well, it's a tremendous victory for someone. Well, just in time, then, to open this parcel we've received from a Mrs. G. Khan from Islamabad to reveal a cake, is it? Maybe an eclair or a trifle. I can't tell. Oh, it feels like a nice big eclair. That's not an eclair, Henry. Keep your hands to yourself, lad.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, old thing.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard the other day, just after the Salvation Army jumble sale. when a man came on the wireless saying that Roy Hattersley had become a vegetarian. Thora sighed and snapped in half a chocolate finger with one stroke. Alan, she said, there's no substitute for meat when it comes to a well-balanced diet. I nodded, and my mind was cast back to a warm July evening in 1991, when, deep inside the Wakefield Institute for the Criminally Insane, I came face to face with the infamous serial killer that had terrorised most of North Yorkshire, Dr. Hannibal Hurd, a.k.a. Thora. Thora had got the taste for human flesh by eating one too many black puddings. She stunned her victims into a comatose state by showing them episodes of Last of the Summer Wine. Then she'd eat them with some fava beans, a nice Chianti, and a fresh pot of Earl Grey. Thora's reign of terror ended after she was apprehended tossing a freshly made pancake made out of Fred Dibner, whom she had flattened with one of his own traction engines. At our meeting, Thora sniffed me, deduced I was wearing Old Spice, and asked me if late at night I still heard the whippets screaming. Hannibal Thora said she'd only cooperate with the authorities on the proviso she'd be given what she'd always dreamed of, a cell with its own stairlift. But it was all a ruse. Soon after, Thora stabbed a guard with a concealed macaroon sharpened to a fine point and escaped aboard the Stanner 2000. And I knew the only place where she was headed. So, as Thora slams the oven door shut and sets it on gas mark 4, and as myself, Peter Salis, and Mr. Pettiforth from number 42 begin grilling to a lovely golden brown, I say to Roy Hattersley, don't you go vegetarian yet, because Thora's noticed you've got a lovely bit of meat on you, and you're going to need all your strength to escape Thora's basting brush. I wish I had.
Good afternoon, CFM. Can I help you?
Hello, is that CFM, the radio station?
It is.
Hello, I'm listening to you right now. It's Robbie Williams. I'm in my bus.
It's Robbie Williams.
I'm just going up the M6, and we've just passed Penrith, and we've got you on. And my mates have bet me to, like, phone you up and see if the DJ will put us on the air.
Good luck. Right, I'll put you through a Dave, then. Hang on a second.
What's his name? Dave who?
Campbell.
Go on, put me through then. What's it? Dave Campbell.
Yeah, hang on a second.
All right.
3-3 then. It's I Wanna Sex You Up. Colour Me Bad. It had been number one, but not this week. It is at number two on the 1st of June in 1991. Well done to Phil and Lisa, Oak and Steve and Karen, Stu and Craig and Alison and Kev and Gary and Nick and Wetty and Amy and Sharon and Tony. All of those people getting it right. We'll do it again tomorrow afternoon between 2 and 3 right here on CFM. Right, I don't quite know what to make of this, but apparently on the phone we have Robbie Williams at the moment. Hello, Rob.
Oh, no, is that Dave Campbell?
Yes, it is.
Sorry to, like, interrupt your show and that. I'm just in my bus. We're just on the M6, just gone past Penrith, and we were, like, chilling out to your show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Colour Me Bad was on and all that. And Dave said, I bet I can't phone up and get on the air.
Right.
And so I thought I'd phone up, and I have.
Right, OK, where are you at
and
the moment?
And here we are. I don't know, last time I saw it was, like, Penrith.
Mm.
So, and that was about 10 minutes ago, so... We can't be far away from Carlisle now, I guess.
But listen, there's still people here, and they're looking through the window going, really, is it him?
It
how
is.
How can you prove that it's you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how I can do it. I mean, I'm on the phone. What can I do? When I rock the mic, I rock the mic right. I don't know. Is that gonna... I know me lyrics. So what records have you got on mine in the studio now?
We have got all sorts of yours in here.
What are you going to put on?
What's your favourite one?
Strong. Have you got that?
Strong's your favourite one?
Yeah.
Seriously, because I've heard strong. That you're not a big fan of Rock DJ, are you?
I don't know, I like it and that, but I don't know, it's just a bit daft. It sounds a bit, you know, it's really starting to bug me now. It sounds like Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and I don't know, there's lots of songs I've done that I like and then I go off them, and then I like them again.
Okay, mate, listen, I'm going to have to dash.
All right, then, that's brilliant. Enjoy
right,
the
Rob,
news.
Take care, mate.
Enjoy Dead Ringers on BBC Radio 4, all right, mate?
BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Perkins.
And I'm Charlotte Green.
You know Charlotte.
I've always quite fancied you.
Yes, Brian, I've always quite fancied myself, too. It's the voice that does it.
And now we're alone together. You and yours is just about to come on and everyone's turned off. I'm not just a heart-bitten psychopath, you know, Charlotte. I have a romantic side. I know I stand in line until you think you'll have the time to spend an evening with me. Brian Perkins, BBC Radio 4.
And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. Charlotte Green, it's 6 o'clock.
And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. Maybe a packet of crisps. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like, and now on Radio 4, The Archers. No, Charlotte, if you don't go now, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, and for the rest of your life. Here's looking at you, kid.
And here's looking at you, Brian.
Are you looking at me? Or chewing a brick?
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Claims Direct. You're speaking to Liz. How may I help you?
Oh, hello there. I see your advert on the television frequently. You are the Claims Direct people who, if someone has had something happen to them, they may be entitled to compensation and all that,
That's correct, yes.
Right. Something happened to me. I wondered if I might be entitled to compensation.
And what sort of an accident did you have?
Well, you see, I had to enter the Cave of Crystal on Metabilis 3 to confront the Great One. Mm-hmm. My body became ravaged by the radiation.
I see, yeah.
And the only way to save my life was to regenerate from John Pertwee into myself.
Right, OK. Could I take your name, please?
I am the Doctor.
Yes. Your last name?
I'm known only as the Doctor.
All right, then. I'm terribly sorry, but I can't help you. I do need a more formal name.
How much do you think I would get from that? A sort of enforced regeneration from my third into my fourth incarnation?
I'm sorry, we're unable to help.
There was the time after that when I was halfway up a radio telescope and I fell off and changed into Peter Davison.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, Lawrence Howard, Danny Robbins and Dan Tetzel, Simon Blackwell, George Poles and Simon Littlefield, John Holmes, John Coleshaw, Mike Barfield. The title music was by John Whitehall. The producer is Bill Dare.